Is it Kahan?
Or CJ?
That was literally perfect. Kahan.
But do you prefer CJ?
So it's like a funny story, maybe. I don't know if you want to hear it. Like,
let's rip it.
Okay, perfect. So I had always gone by Kahan forever. And then I started a new job. I was covering the state of Texas. And so I was calling into large-scale wholesale distributors and calling in saying, you know, hi, this is Kahan with XYZ company. And by the time they would even get to my name, they'd be like, Kahan? What? I don't have time for this. And they just hang up. And so I looked at my boss. I said, Roy, like, I can't even get a word in and they're hanging up on me.
Kahan?
He pulled me in with our COO on like a Zoom call just like this. And they were like, he'd like to switch his name up. What can we go with here? We landed on CJ. We're running with it. And the next two calls I made, because I was in sales, there's a lot of cold calling, reaching out to companies that have never heard of us. Literally, hey, CJ, let me patch you through to like whoever I needed. And so it stuck and it did its thing for 2 years. And, you know, maybe it'll make an appearance again, but I always have preferred Kahan, and I just felt like CJ was a chapter in my life.
Beautiful.
That was a very good chapter. I look back on it very fondly. I think I learned a lot in that.
The Zoom call to decide your new name. What an experience. Plurbies, who is it that we're listening to right now? Why don't we just go right into this introduction? You know that his name is Kahan. Let me tell you a little bit more about him, besides that his name is actually not CJ. It's on his LinkedIn, but it was made up to get more sales, and it was successful. So, while most DJs learn to mix before landing their first gig, this DC native is an inspiration to us with his hard work, his ability to learn, and the way he values people. And don't get it twisted, there's nothing lax about this former Lax Bro skills. He has opened up for a ton of our favorites, names like Habstract and Rusko and Walker and Royce and Malpia and Moxia and Joyride and Noizu and Surf Mesa and Dombreski, Dioro, Disco Line, CJ Susan. I mean, are you kidding me, dude? Like an episode of Interdimensional Cable, you don't know where his sets are going to turn next. Some are calling him the Sonny Jurgensen of EDM because his contributions to the number 9 community are notable. No, guys, it's not Andrew Schulz in a disco cowboy hat. It's our homie Kahan, otherwise known as 9 Before 9. Welcome to the show.
Welcome!
Thank you guys for having me. I'm stoked to be here.
Oh, get the fuck up.
Get the fuck up. Y'all, if you follow our TikTok, you might have seen a video of 9 Before 9 absolutely shredding this flip right here. You guys heard it on the Forbidden Kingdom episode. I got to walk into this set and Please Mr. Postman and Crunchy DMB was just getting after it. Turned into this song, finished with some Porter Robinson, and I was like, this is a dude who's bringing that energy. And so stoked, man, to have you here right now. Welcome to the show.
This is awesome. That's so funny. I don't want to spoil any questions. We're just like, I think I made that 10 minutes before we left the hotel room to go to soundcheck.
Do you want to hear it?
I made this in my hotel room.
I'm making this right now.
I was sitting around with the homie Dre Waves and the rest of my team. And he's the one who raps on a track we just put out, FWM. He's like looking at me and I really wanted to play the Irish Kids. And I was just struggling to mix them. And I only had maybe like 45 seconds or 1 minute to put that track into the set because I had kind of planned out where I wanted to go with the rest of it. And I literally was sitting there in front of Dre and I said, what if I just cut it just hard? And he sees me in Ableton. And I think I like filtered drums just like a tiny bit. And then just I turned up the gain a little bit right on that first send and then had it come down right before the kick. And it worked out really well. And that I think that ended up being like the highlight of the entire set.
Wow.
Well, it certainly was for Mikey.
For me right now.
I came in and was like, WTF, mate. Who is this cat? What are we doing? Having a good time. I wish I was at the rail instead of accidentally VIP. It was great.
Accidentally.
Like the last thing on that, I feel like it's so easy to overthink stuff, especially when we're trying to produce. It's like, you know, everyone's like comparing themselves to Skrillex or thinking about some crazy other project they've heard. And I think sometimes like don't overthink it, dumb it down. Sometimes the simple just hits.
Legit, because there are so many people who don't know anything about music production who are just like, yo, that slaps. You know what I mean? Like, just do it.
Exactly.
We're off to a hot start. We're going to keep it going. We have Drop of the Week. After that, we have a segment called Higher Vibrations, which is the name of a label that we're excited to hear about. Then we're going to finish up with a segment called Pardon the Interruption. We're going to get into some debates, and we're all thrilled about that one.
You guys must have really done your research. That's my favorite TV show of all time.
What? What?
I know that sounds weird because it's like a 30-minute talk show.
You're not an Around the Horn guy? More of a PTI guy?
Way, way more of a PTI guy. I like Around the Horn, but PTI is like, it hits the sweet spot for me. I need that.
Tony and Michael Wilbon, shout out those guys. They've been doing it for a long time. Drop of the week. Let's do it. I'm going to send it over to Moody.
Let's go. So we've heard that at the end of your set, you played a Porter Robinson song and you said that you owed it all to him. He's the GOAT. You played Shelter. Love that track. So Porter Robinson, I started listening to him like in 2011, 2012. As you probably know, his music from then is much different than from what he's putting out today. So the track that I chose is actually Unison, the Knife Party remix by Porter Robinson. We're going to get into it right now. Play it, Mikey.
I mean, this is like an all-time classic.
Dude, that track goes so hard.
So,
It was way before its time.
I agree.
Also, a funny story. I remember that they used to play this song on the previews of the New Jersey Shore episodes coming out on MTV. I admittedly loved Jersey Shore at the beginning seasons.
Oh, who didn't? Come on.
I fell in love with this track too because I was like, dang, two of my favorite things, EDM, Jersey Shore. So we were wondering, like, what has Porter meant to you throughout your career? And when did you first start listening to him? Was it at that point or was it like later on in his career?
Yeah, I first got introduced to Porter through my older brother. My brother Cameron was into the scene a little bit as he was graduating high school. He's 6 years older than me, so he graduated in 2009. I think he was getting hip to that scene. And then in college, I remember him like coming back and always like trying to like, what's he listen to? What's going on? Like, you know, he had all these older friends that were going to different festivals and stuff. And that's like the first time I'd heard of the whole EDM sort of scene. And My friends and I had started going to Echo Stage in DC, and I think the first show we saw was Hardwell, and then Tiesto and W&W. So Big Room, like, I have a very special place in my heart for Big Room. And then that's when I got introduced to Porter through my brother. I can't remember if he went to Shambhala or some festival where he got to see like a world set. So this must have been in 2014 or probably 2014 around then. And I had just heard of him and I never really experienced it. I thought it sounded really cool. And it kind of just been like stashed away. And then I was at Firefly and I had actually missed Porter Robinson's set. And I remember being really bummed about it. You know, my friends were like, changed everything. Like, oh my God, it's so unbelievable. Lucky enough, maybe 2 months later, I went to Moonrise Festival in Baltimore and got to see what it was all about. My whole crew and I were, you know, I think we were maybe 10, 15 people away, and just got swept up in everything that was going on, the energy, the emotion. It was, you know, my friends and I still talk about that set like way too much. That really unlocked things for me in terms of wanting to listen to EDM more regularly and, you know, having those tracks be at the top of my playlist. I'm terrible with organizing my songs right now. Like, it's just, I'm a liked songs guy where it's just, it's a mash of everything just on top of each other. And I had started just stocking Alenium and Porter and that sort of vibe, and sprinkling in a little Excision. And then in college, I think I had my first couple like hard times, which things that I thought were hard, like going through like breakups.
What'd you listen to then? What was Sad Boy Kahan pumping?
It's that whole Alenium album. I mean, it's
like Ashes or Ascend or...
It's Ashes, I believe.
That was like peak Sad Boy.
I think Awake really... Unbelievable. This whole album, I actually played a show recently where I just dug in and played two of the tracks because I just miss it. I just love it so much. So yeah. That's why with Homebase, I thought this might not flow in terms of the set, but I just really want to play this track. And I think that that is more important than having a perfect transition or whatever.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes getting on a little mic talk after, you know, putting your heart and soul into a set feels like the right thing to get that vibe. So
it was well received.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, being a DJ, like, you're the one who's going to be the director of the show, right? So if you decide you want to play something, even if someone, you think someone doesn't want to hear it, fuck it. Like, play what you want to play. That I firmly believe this, because if you are passionate about it and people see you being passionate about it, then they're going to be passionate about you being passionate about it. You know what I mean?
100%.
Passion. Energy.
More passion. No more.
Yeah.
We've heard that the first album you ever really got into was Daft Punk. Discovery.
Absolutely.
Love that album. Came out in 2001. I had it on CD, I remember.
That was the first time there was a couple electronic tracks that I got exposed to. Daft Punk was the first where it was like, it had clicked in my head. Like, this is an album. I'm listening to this. It's like one piece of work from an artist. I know that sounds weird, but I think as a kid, I wasn't really conceptualizing that too much. It was whatever my dad or brothers were playing in the car. There was also a couple, Di Amano, that blah, blah, blah track.
I have to look it up.
Moody is our historian. They know everything about the olden years of EDM.
Gigi D'Agostino.
I have to hear it.
So that album came out in 99. I think you guys will recognize it.
I've been thinking.
to my understanding and the way it sort of has made sense in my head, is it's almost like a derivative of trance, right? Like, we wouldn't have house without trance. And I feel like those two, those long builds, like, we had to crawl before we could run. I don't know. I feel like in the evolution of electronic.
For sure. And it's crazy where it's gone to, which leads us to our next question. So you've had this evolution of, you started off with cool house tracks and Daft Punk, and then moving along to Porter Robinson. And today you identify as a bass head trapped in a house DJ body. So that brings me to ask, how has your music taste developed? Where do you think you are now from where you started?
It's a tough question to answer because I'm listening to music 24/7.
So you are listening to whatever you can.
At all times. Like, if I'm in the car, if I'm brushing my teeth, if I'm doing the dishes, if I'm, you know, whatever it is, it's on. And Mikey, I know we both have a deep love for sports. You know, it's either that or it's a sports podcast. Like, that's the only other thing I'll slip in there. Some pardon my take. I find that, especially now that I'm leaning into the idea of being an artist, and I'm almost like opening myself up to the idea of, I don't know everything. I'm going to experience everything. I'm going to allow whatever happens to influence the direction that I go next, and, you know, the people that I'm with, and how we sort of bring things all together. And so I feel like in that process, I find that it's really hard to pick different stuff. Like, even for today, I have 4 songs. I knew you guys said pick one. I have actually 5, which is terrible.
Bro, where have you been? We should have had you on the podcast every week.
Yeah, you want to be a co-host with us?
I was going to say, I got house, disco, house, vibes, non-EDM, or just one with a funny story. Like, all of them are very different. And I think, like, the artist that I continue to come back to, especially before my sets, I've seen some very funny clips and videos. I'm always hunting, and like, I follow a lot of different like Mac DeMarco pages. And I just love hearing him almost like make fun of music and art. And sometimes I feel like if I'm getting a little anxious before a set or whatever it is, I just gravitate towards some of his music. And so, you know, that's one artist that's in my rotation a lot, but I do have 5 different tracks, depending on the mood you guys are in, that I would love to highlight.
But we gotta pick one to start.
Do you want to, like, flip a coin?
Because it is now time for Drop of the Week by 9before9.
I'm initially intrigued by the non-EDM selection.
It's actually the one I think I've been playing the most, like, on repeat.
So we must know.
I love me some alt rock. Huge fan of Wallows and Backseat Lovers. Saw Goth Babe recently. Unbelievable. So my track or drop of the week will be Sweet Talk by Saint Motel.
Give me about 75 seconds to get that loaded up.
Well, perfect, because I got a couple of it. The house track I was going to share, shout out Motives. He's a local artist in DC, or not local anymore. He's all over the place, but he played a set after Weathen 2 weeks ago in DC, and he opened with All Over My Body by Ben Sterling and Super Chumbo. And that song just, I was like about to go home, and I was like halfway out the door, and I was like, oh.
Bringing you back.
The new Odin and Fatso with Poppy Backscombe, Tell Me What You Want. Love that track. When I'm trying to vibe out, I've been playing Someday I Will by Barry Can't Swim. Mm. That one's been on repeat. And the last one, I keep, this song comes on right after Sweet Talk by Saint Motel, so that's probably why I keep listening to it. I'm like really trying to allow myself to be influenced by whatever comes around me, especially when I'm traveling. I'll try and write notes and think of things that I can bring into the studio. And, you know, I was sitting on a flight coming home and there was a middle seat open, and the guy to the right of me was probably in his mid-70s, and his phone was like open throughout the flight, and he was just listening to music on Spotify, and I just kept picking the songs off.
Yo, yes.
And there's one I fell in love with called Mulberry Jam by A La Las.
Bro, Old Man on the Plane song?
Ooh, okay.
Dude, that's amazing. It's going to keep your performances so fresh because you are listening to such a variety. Dude, it shows in your set, you know, going back and watching your home base sets. So without further ado, this is Saint Motel and their song, Sweet Talk.
How can you just feel good? Come on.
So have you flipped Sweet Talk yet? Is that in the works?
Nah, that one has not made its way into the station yet. But, you know, Big Wild's a huge influence of mine. And some of the things he does are... So maybe.
From Worcester.
Maybe one day.
This song is like... You're driving along the highway and there's no fucking traffic and you got the top down and the wind in your hair and you can't sing any louder, honey. You just sing at the top of your lungs.
Come on. Fired up over here.
Beauty.
That's awesome.
I'm fired up too. This podcast was literally made to play music because we love music. And so to get to talk to people who play music professionally and hear the music that they like... This is it. This is like realization of what this is for. This is beautiful. Thanks for being here, guys.
I was about to say, thank you so much for having me. This is so special. You guys are awesome.
Aww.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
What a sweetie. We are going to move it along to segment number two, Higher Vibrations. We're going to get into the specifics about what Higher Vibrations are. But first, I have a question for you, and I did talk to you a little bit about this pre-show, warning you that we're going to go here, because I want to get into your journalism background for a moment.
The serious stuff.
Your esteemed career at the Saxon Scope, a Langley High staple, and as the former executive director, I was hoping you could help us out. You got a moment for us?
Anything for the pod, come on.
Oh, beauty. So I've been like on Google, I've been on Reddit, I've been looking for an article on how to deal with spraining your ankle in the middle of a set. And I can't seem to find any good resources on the subject. So as someone maybe with some recent experience, if you were to write a guide on how to deal with the mid-set ankle rolly, what are the keys to overcoming such an obstacle?
Yeah, don't do what I did. I have a terrible tendency when like something hurts. Like if I jam my thumb, I just like start like wringing it. And I think we have multicam from that set. But you just see me after. I am just slamming my ankle into the ground, like trying to just be like, it's okay. It didn't happen. Like it's fine. It's fine. And so. I don't think that made it better, but what I would recommend is, you know, if you do partake a little bit of liquid courage, and then the second you're out of there, get some ice, take some Advil, ibuprofen, like really, I'm a believer again. I didn't need it for a while, but the way that thing can bring the swelling down, this thing ballooned up on me. I was playing the next weekend in Charleston and I had a brace on and I had my Jordans like tied all the way to the top. And
it might have been from jamming your foot into the ground.
I'm going with the beat too. I'm like, I cannot stop right now. Like, I'm too deep.
This is helping.
But that was at your superior ingredients set.
Yeah, that was awesome. Surf Mesa brought out myself. And actually, it was cool. I've gotten to meet and become friends with each of the artists individually. It was Surf Mesa, Trey Mortimer, Isaac, and myself. I mean, the vibes from the green room to the stage and all over were just so, so high. That was an awesome show for sure.
No, I definitely believe that. We saw Surf Mesa at Izu a couple of years ago.
Yep.
And it was a great set. And I was like, wow, I'm so glad that I got put on to this great artist. So I'm sure that your set at Superior Ingredients with him was just so much fun.
Frenchie also loves Superior. It's one of her favorite venues.
I was just going to say those exact words.
It just hits. It hit with that whole skyline in the background in New York City. It's perfect.
Absolutely. It's so beautiful. And I caught a couple of these videos of you playing at Superior, and I'm sorry, but I would have been right there with you dancing the whole time. I love your energy on set, on the stage. I can't wait to come to one of your sets and share that with you. So that was awesome.
Appreciate that.
In your disco cowboy hat. I mean, like, how?
Literally. Where is she?
We got the lull on the day.
Look at her. Yes.
All right, Frenchie, why don't you keep us going? Let's get into Higher Vibrations.
Yeah, let's do it. Mikey, are we taking a music break here?
Ooh, correct. We sure are. Let's get into a track called So Much Stress. So much stress. So much. But listen to this song, maybe it'll make it better. This is by Nate Chapman and 9 Before 9. Get grooving, Plurbies.
This is definitely a track I'd want to hear in a venue like Superior with the sun beaming in.
Or driving along a highway, no traffic, wind in your hair.
I think we're building a playlist here.
Kehan, I want to talk to you a little bit about your record label, Higher Vibrations. Congrats on that, my friend. It was founded last year?
In May.
Funny. Yeah, we started it a while ago, but it didn't, like, not a while ago, like, probably, I think it was like a year and a half ago, probably. It all became very, very real, like, 6 months ago when I left my job and started doing this full time. But yeah, started it with two of my best friends. We were up late after a show in New York City, and I just looked at the two of them and I was like, I think I like pulled them into a bedroom and like closed the door behind me.
We're
like,
starting a label.
We gotta do this. So it's just like, let's just start something. Let's just get it going. I think we filed for the LLC that week and started doing the paperwork and stuff on the back end. And I remember we had trouble. Higher Vibrations, like, we couldn't take. It was already taken. So in my head, I was like, how can we keep it the same without being cheesy? And I thought, there's three of us, three eyes and vibrations. Let's run with it. That was, probably last year in May, right around then.
I did a little bit of counting. If my math is correct, you had 32 artists on the label as of January, or 32 like artists you've worked
with?
Yeah,
so we host like a monthly event. And so last year for 2023, we had, that 32 artists come through from all over. We even had our first international artist come through, which was really cool. Shout out Kay Wagner. Just super awesome to get the ball rolling. And this year we've had some really exciting nights with the event sort of series that we've been able to continue. We just had Slug and Jeff Sorkowitz and a couple other artists that I know we're stoked for. So it's been awesome doing the event side sort of separate from the label, but
they tie all in together.
I love it. I'm so down. I think that one of your artists is a local NYC artist. Aaron has seen before, Ken Kelly.
Oh,
yeah.
Long is the best. Yeah. Long is awesome.
He's so dope.
He was actually the first headliner we booked. There's a really cool, our friends call it Beat Retreat. My homie Channing, he's out of the DC area, but he was a part of a group that would get together. It was all different artists, and they would rent a house in the Poconos and do, like, you know, I'm talking like 25, 30 people, different DJs, producers, and, you know, their significant others getting together for a mountain weekend.
It's such a sweet idea.
I love it.
So cool. And we like created schedules where everyone had their own like set time. And so, you know, if someone wanted to plan for a sunrise set, you know, they would sort of tailor their set to that. So through that, that's actually how I met Wong, or Ken Kelly. He has such a calming presence. And then you get to know him and he's hilarious. And so it's just a wonderful mix. And that whole crew was fantastic. So that's how I got linked up with him. And I was like, I called in a homie favor. I was like, we don't have much of a budget, but I would love to have you come down to DC. And he did it, which was awesome.
That is awesome.
That's very cool. He lives here in Brooklyn.
So, Kehan, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but I'm actually from the Northern Virginia area.
No.
Are you in DC? Are you in Virginia?
I'm in Arlington. So I'm just across
the
bridge. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I was born in Fairfax. I grew up in Woodbridge. I lived in Vienna. I lived in Springfield. I know Clarendon and Arlington very well. I was going out in that area over 10 years ago. Spent a lot of time in DC and I love DC. So anyway, thought that was special.
This is weird. Were you born in Fairfax Hospital?
Yes.
Let's go. Let's up. We're in there.
Is that where you were born too?
Absolutely. That's the same hospital. Come on.
That is so funny. Well, we'll have to, you know, compare birth charts after the show. So.
I'm a triple water Pisces. That's all I know.
Holy cow.
I had a whole scary dinner interaction with a business associate at like my first job. She like grabbed my hand and like did a reading, made me call my mom, find out when I was born. It was the whole thing.
But that was when you were a CJ, so we don't need to talk about that. Pisces is
that's pretty awesome. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Not as awesome as Fairfax Hospital.
Bet.
Oh my god, sorry. Okay, turning the ship around. I do want to hear about all of your inspirations to found Higher Vibrations and what your goals are for the label and, you know, why it's important to you.
It has been a relatively new thing for me musically to feel that I'm in a place to put other people on and help other people out. I think I dealt with a lot of imposter syndrome when I first got into this space. I don't have a background in music theory. I flunked out of a ton of instruments growing up. It was just not my forte. I got into it through the social scene, really, and playing aux at the parties and starting to fall in love with DJing through that, and then learning about production and understanding, okay, what is it about these songs that I love? How can I sort of create my own path through that? And so I think like a big piece for me was just trying to, like, I had so many friends that I felt like were more talented than me, and they were putting together wonderful pieces of art, tracks that were, you know, finished, if not almost finished. And they were all kind of like, nah, I'm just like waiting for labels. Yeah, I just pitched it. I'm just waiting for labels. Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't really know how I would release music. And so the only other time I really felt like that in college, I thought I was going to be orthopedic surgeon. I got injured a bunch growing up. I thought that going into medicine, I was taking the pre-med track and, you know, doing all of these different courses. I think I was in organic chemistry too. And my lab partners were all like leagues ahead of me from an intellect standpoint. They were not only just sharper, they were more dedicated. They were, you know, volunteering for the rescue squad or doing research in their free time. And like, I was like organizing parties and being a tour guide, like doing like random, you know, social stuff. And so what kept me in that track for so long was I felt like I could give a voice to the smart people in the room. Because we do the group project, they would be obviously better at contributing to the actual data, but when it came to communicating it, I was able to step in and, you know, be the orator or be able to hand it off to them for them to give that one section of their piece that was maybe the most powerful. And so I felt like that happening again with music. And it got me really excited because I was like, all the stuff that they were doing to volunteer within that field, I'm doing that in music now. I'm organizing events in my free time. I'm going to try and support other artists over here or trying to take a production class here or whatever it is. And so why don't I try and take advantage of this unique opportunity and see if I can bring it all together? And I've had a lot of great role models in my life, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, but I think it's ikigai. It's a Japanese metaphor, I believe, when you have your purpose overlap with, you know, what you love, or I guess what you're good at and what you love. And so you're able to provide value while doing something that you really care for. And so that felt like the intersection. I was like,
wow,
I don't even have to be a good producer. I can just find really good producers. And if this whole thing doesn't work out for me, at least I can make it work out for some other people, hopefully. So that's kind of how we got into it.
That's super beautiful. And I also feel, I don't know. Yeah, exactly, Mikey. I'm like cheering you on over here. Like,
you guys beat me up.
Like, yes, do it. Do exactly what you're saying. Keep going. You got this.
if someone won't do it for you, you got to do it yourself. Like, that's
absolutely.
So everyone should. I think we're going to get to a point where labels, because everyone became a DJ and now everyone's going to be a late, you know, It's the evolution of it.
We're just moving towards tastemakers, really, especially with all the technology about making music even that's coming out. And it's an interesting time.
But I admire your, like Mikey says, ability to be a tastemaker and to be able to put folks on. And I think that we have a very similar goal with this podcast, to put folks on to new music and new upcoming artists. And yeah, we definitely feel a bit of responsibility in that realm. So I think that it's just nice to meet folks who have a shared ethos.
I mean, I'm sure you guys feel this too. Like, it seems as though the most genius or like the most special folks when it comes to a specific craft, they're typically reserved and they're introverted. I think having folks like us that really get excited about the work that they're doing, that can sort of break them out of that shell. Like, I'm working, my best friend is Jay Park. You know, we started the label together. I wouldn't say he's like socially introverted, but I think the way he expresses himself, he sort of stays reserved a lot of the times. So and when we first started making music, I remember like almost like yelling at him, like, just do it. Just put it out. The song is sick. You crushed this. Just put it out. And now he's just stacking massive tracks, and he's developed, you know, an unbelievable amount in such a short period of time. And, you know, I just hope that everyone has that sort of yin yang, or is it, you know, whether you're one or the other or somewhere in between. I think it's important to find someone like that that can balance you out. And Josh sometimes looks at me and he's like, hey, this is not ready yet. So it goes both ways. But it's a beautiful thing. And I love that you guys sort of channel that same energy and look out for those around you as well.
Thank you. All right, Player Blaze. Now we're going to play a Higher Vibrations track that just came out at the end of July. Play, babe.
Do you want to say it first?
Yeah, it's going to be Pa La Gente by Dre Mendez and Caleb Dent.
Let's go. Fire it up. Puesto pa' la boda, pa' el bufeo, si la linda se va con el mafeo. Hey, pa' el perreo. Puesto pa' la boda, no chisteo, si ya sé que eres amante del bellaqueo. Si la toma,
Mikey, tell us what he's saying.
He's going, and then some Spanish. Vibrations. We're excited to hear of the genesis of this project. We're excited to see where this project is going, but it was all made possible with a transition that you made not so long ago. And for that, Moody has a question for you.
Indeed. So we've talked about how you just recently left your corporate job. Congrats on that. Super fucking awesome. Like, We have another friend who owns a local club here in Brooklyn, and he just left his corporate job yesterday, 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Something like that. So we're all doing
huge,
it.
Yeah. It's
1 foot forward, 2 steps more forward.
I had right after I quit my job, I went to New York to work on some music. I think it was Tuesday morning. I was just like walking around. This is the second day without a job. I'm like walking along West Side Highway down by Financial District. I'm getting all of these beautiful messages from people being like, so proud of you, like, way to go. I'm sitting there. I'm like, any one of us can quit our job right now. I have not done anything yet. Like, there is nothing to be celebrated yet. We got to make it happen first. But I really do appreciate you guys saying that. And I do. It is just, it's a funny feeling. Because it's like, I appreciate that you guys are stoked for me. I'm stoked, but I'm also crapping my pants at the same time. And, you know.
100%.
You need that. You will feel dark.
Brother, I've been crapping my pants for 2 years. And that crap in my pants since leaving my corporate job is what has made me survive, you know? Because without that fire, whew.
So good.
Legit. Mikey and I both have left our corporate jobs in the last 2 years without
a plan,
having anything lined up, but just knowing that I was going to pursue music and he was going to also pursue music, but in a different way. I know how fucking scary it is to be like, well, I'm waking up today and I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to figure it out and it's going to be great.
This is a dangerous piece here. This is a Rick Rubin, a creative act.
Mm.
I mean, don't read it unless you want to quit your job. No, my cousin's a crazy talented producer. His name's Late London. Little plug. He got me the book as a gift and I didn't open it for almost 2 years. And I'm really glad I didn't because I don't think I was ready for it. When I did finally get into it, I think I've listened to the audiobook, I think 3 times now, but it talks a lot about opening yourself up to the universe and allowing yourself to be a vessel for art, you know, whatever form it is. Not everyone's going to read it and think, oh, I'm going to quit my job. A lot of it he talks about is like finding sustainable ways to feed your passion for art. But, you know, the way I looked at it was if I don't make myself open to this, it's not going to happen. And so let's run with it as long as we can. And I told my parents, I was like, if in a year I don't have a job, then I'll start applying for jobs. Like if it's real bad, guys, if you feel it, you know, just let me know. But everyone's been super supportive, just like you guys are. I'm cheering you guys on too.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you. I mean, it just takes such an insane amount of trust in the universe to take the leap of faith into your passion. So Frenchie's also doing the same thing. She's turning the corner of something new. I'll leave that.
Well, I was going to say, Kehan, it's really special that you just brought that up because our last DJ producer we interviewed had a very similar message. So I think this is kind of divine that you're saying something so similar. And he was saying the art will just happen through a person. So you should make it because the art, it's probably just going to pick you and then it has to come through you.
Exactly.
Yeah. He was a vessel and the art just, chose him.
See, we're all the same. No, I'm just teasing. We have this funny joke in my friend group. Everyone's a DJ. Everyone's a...
Oh, you mix, bro?
Oh, you love sports?
I just started mixing.
It's too fun.
No, for sure.
I think it's super true.
Hell yeah. So you said that making music in the past has acted as an escape for you. But now that you're relying on your music as a full-time career, maybe being creative can feel a little bit more difficult or at times stressful. So I was wondering, have you found a method that helps you combat those feelings?
It's so bad. I had the most amazing boss at my last job and we butt heads sometimes, but everything he did, he went to Harvard. He's like crazy smart,
wicked smart.
He just figured out like the reality of getting stuff done.
He cracked the code.
Yeah. And so I feel a bit guilty because a lot of the things he taught me that I didn't apply, like I had a great run there for 2 years, but I'm like looking back, I'm like, if I had done some of these things when I was still working there, you know, maybe it would have been really different. I had just picked up on the idea of time boxing. I came to terms with the fact that if I don't prioritize things on my calendar and don't actually dedicate the time to do them, my self-diagnosed ADHD ass is not going to get it done.
Yeah.
And I need to visually see if I don't get it done. It's okay that I didn't get it done, but I need to move it to another time or else it's not going to happen. And so I use like a free app called Trello. My uncle taught me about it. And it's just, it's almost like Quizlet, but like with a to-do list. I don't know. You can just like write cards out, go into as much detail as you want. I just use it as like to-do lists. I'm sure there's a million different ways to do that, but I take my to-do list and then I say, okay, let's put it into a time box on my Google Calendar and let's go from there. I want to finish these two tracks. Okay, well, when am I going to get them done? You know, one's a collab. I need to call Mikey, shout out Plasma. When do we want to get this done? I think that's been one of the big things. And there's also days where I think you need to strategically lean away from a structure. If you're super regimented for a full week or two, that's freaking awesome. Now that next Monday, like go check out a museum, go do something weird, go spend time with your family. Like taking a break from that, I think makes it a lot more sustainable. Mm.
Definitely. And it gives you room to be inspired by something you might not have thought about before.
When you really get into production, there's so many levels to it. Even artists who have been doing it for 10 years will learn something new that can be, you know, almost like earth shattering. And it's like, it's what makes it so special. And so I think if you approach it with goals and try making it fun, this is a sandbox where you can go and create whatever you like. Take the different influences that have brought you to this point and try and channel them through, you know, that moment. And don't be afraid if it's not perfect to put it out. I think that that's a huge thing too. The amount of beautiful tracks just sitting on some, I'm thinking of Late London. I work with the homies Checkmate, like both of them and so talented. They have a vault of 50 tracks that I'm sitting here. I'm like, those tracks are better than every single track I'm making right now. And they're, and you know, it's the artist struggle. It's like, you put your heart and soul into something and then it's, if it's not exactly how you want it to be, it's really hard to get over that obstacle or that barrier to release it into the world. But talking with Goshfather a lot, Victor has become a mentor to me and a friend, and his big, he's like, I'll hit you over the head with a stick and if you don't put it out, you know, like that's the sort of mentality I think you gotta have. And if it's not perfect, then you can make a VIP, you can make an edit, you can make a remix, you can do whatever, but the art needs to be shared.
Mm.
Definitely.
Justin, if you're listening, put your shit out. It's close. We're close. One thing I wanted to touch on, you talked about just the fun, make it fun. When we were talking to Andrew Lux, he said that was like the big thing when he shifted towards making it fun. So he does like green screen content. He has that whole style. And when he started making it fun for himself, he said that's when his production actually took off. So I think there's a big lesson there. It's cool to hear that from you too.
I think Andrew's journey is so unique and beautiful. Like the experience in the military, I hadn't known about all of that stuff until listening to that episode.
Mm-hmm. And he's nasty.
Yeah. Oh,
like at production.
Absolute dog. I mean,
yeah.
My friends and I were going to when we were looking for help when we were first getting started. Like, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, we talked to him and then he put us on to Proppa and he was like, this guy's way better than I am at production. And we were like, what? But like the levels, like you talked about, man, and everyone's on their own path and it's okay. It's all great wherever you are.
I think of production and DJing, it's like skiing. You can compete in the X Games or you can go on a family trip. You can go fast, you can go slow, you can do it with 10 people, you can do it by yourself. If we looked at it in a different lens and it wasn't competitive and it was more, you know, open format, hey, you know, I'm not going to judge the way you get down the mountain. You're going to get down the mountain the way you want to. And I think it's easy to look at other people coming down and you're like, oh my God, they look so good. But it's hard to see yourself coming down in your own beautiful way.
And if you liked that tip as a producer and you want more along those lines, our boy here made a nice little Discord chat with a bunch of producers where he dropped hella knowledge on how you can get bookings or just put your tunes out, stuff like that. And I literally sent that to my boy Justin, who I just talked about. I was like, watch this because you're going to be doing all of these things. And he did, and he got a lot of value out of it. So little side note, shout out to you for putting those resources back into the community and bringing people up.
Shout out D-Rock Discord. We love that.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. So dope. I want to wrap up this higher vibration segment with another higher vibration song, but I want to give you, brother, a chance to put someone on like we've been talking about.
Put somebody on right now. I got a couple different folks in mind.
Okay.
Well, we already talked about Dre Mendez and Caleb Dent, super talented artists out of Florida. Ton of love for the DC homies. We have a whole EP coming with my homies Seiji and Chami, so I won't spoil their tracks coming, but huge shout out to the Don Fuego guys out of Colorado. It's two of my homies. They're two of the most amazing souls. Corey and Madi are just amazing people. Madi has the voice of an angel. Corey is wicked talented in the studio. So shout out to the Don Fuego boys. Much love to them and everything they're doing.
What do you got?
It's called Stop Talking by Don Fuego. This was our first release on Higher Vibrations by an artist outside of our core group. These two guys, I got to spend the entire winter with them. We do an Opry ski tour together where...
That looked like a good time.
Yeah, different shows in Big Sky, Montana, in Vail, in Breckenridge, Colorado. Really cool stuff. And so became extremely close with them and felt like this track, if they were in a similar situation, they had 6-7 tracks done and... You know, we were pitching them to different labels, and I heard this one, and I said, hey, let's just put this out as soon as possible. Put a little marketing, you know, sort of idea together, and let's let it rip. And so here it is.
He said, I need it.
I need it.
What are they selling?
This is the sound that got the town jumping. Got the town jumping. I came to dance and get my blood pumping. Baby, can't you see the whole block is rocking? Stop talking.
This is Madi on the vocals.
Wow,
sick.
That's hot.
All right, Kahan, give the people the plug. Where can they find Higher Vibrations on social media? What should they be looking for?
Yeah, check out our IG. We have a Spotify playlist running. It's Higher Vibrations, and there's three I's in the vibrations. So check us out there. Also, all of our releases are available on Beatport. We got to get a Bandcamp running. I've recently fallen in love with Bandcamp, so we'll keep it rolling. But hit us up on IG. Hey, like, seriously, interact with us. We're always looking to do collaborative events, to bring different artists out. You know, send it all our way. Any demos, anything like that. Would love to hear what everyone's got. And yeah, can't thank you guys enough for the opportunity.
Beautiful. All right. Well, we have already well surpassed our intended hour allotment of time. So we're going to try to get through this final segment. It's called Pardon the Interruption. What do those three words mean to you, Kahan?
It's like my safe space. That sounds so weird. But like after school, I would go to wrestling practice in high school and I would come home and I would make some food and Pardon the Interruption was on. So it might not be thematically what we're about to do, but that's what that show means to me with Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon. But
and for the people at home who might be less sports inclined, it's a sports show. It's on ESPN. And like, don't confuse Kahan with someone who loves everything about ESPN, but that show,
just that one,
is one that he likes. So in honor of that, we're going to do a little Pardon the Interruption style show. We have three topics. We're going to put 3 minutes on the clock for each one. Are our contestants ready? Aaron's, Kahan.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Who is on the Mount Rushmore of mustaches in EDM?
Dom Dalla, number one. Hmm.
DJ Susan, number two.
Strong.
Mochalk. Mochalk, for sure. So that's three. I like all three of those. I'll let you. And you got the last one.
And I would put Carrie Chandler as the fourth. House music legend.
Honorable mention, Seth Troxler, honorable mention. He's got that little pencil.
You have a buddy that I saw by the name of Chevy, I think. And I was like, man, he's got a powerful stash. So maybe that's a future contender.
Shout out Chevy and the Had To crew. That's awesome.
Heck yeah. All right, we have established the Mount Rushmore. We're going to move the show right along. Mr. 9 Before 9, you have built this reputation as a vibe bringer, but I'm sorry, dude. I've got to shine a light on a dark past. You wrote a scintillating opinion piece for The Scope back in 2013.
Oh, God, no. This is so bad.
Titled, I Hate SportsCenter. Now, listen, while I fully agree that SportsCenter had devolved into a mid-at-best show at that point in time, it seems it's not just SportsCenter that grinds your gears over at ESPN. Other sources say that Matthew Berry has caught your public ire, that he ruined your Christmas and New Year's based on his advice to start Kalen Ballage. So who is the real Kahan? Is it just ESPN that's caused for you to be a hater in contrast with your aura as a celebrator?
I think I've matured immensely. I like to think I still got a lot more maturing to do. But yeah, there's definitely some very humorous old takes. I think I lost like a massive, it was like the fantasy football championship or something. And Matthew Berry's like, I swear Kalen Ballage is going to go for 2 touchdowns and 200 yards. And I think he got like 0 or something like that. So, but I really, even when that happens now, I try to think about, you know, that he did the best. Matthew Berry did the best he could with the information he had at the time.
There were no insider secrets.
He was out to get you, bro. Like, he wanted just you to lose. Like, that's what I think.
If you guys don't watch the show, I think you should leave, dude. You know that show? There's this one bit where he's just like, oh, I used to be a piece of shit.
Glass house, white Ferrari, live for New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that was a 16-year-old Kahan definitely had some growing up to do, but yeah, we're leaving the hate on the sidelines now for sure.
Yeah, man. I mean, hey, let's stop there for a moment, because I had a similar experience as this kid who would argue with a rock, my dad used to say growing up. And now, like, I'm trying to chill and just vibe with the people, and there was definitely a transition. Is that a transition that you've, you know, experienced over the years?
I'm very blessed to have three older brothers who have gone through every possible good and bad thing, I feel like. And so I've gotten to see what things have worked for them, see what things haven't worked for them, and then sprinkled in a lot of things that haven't worked for myself. And, you know, slowly started to learn. Like, for example, you guys asked that great question about how do I get work done, or how do I get locked in post job? Like, what's that like? I think a lot of it is like learning about yourself, learning about, hey, I know if I am sitting in front of the TV, I'm not going to do as much work on my laptop as I would if I was sitting, you know, with nothing else around. Like, it sounds simple, but it's hard. And it's in those moments where you want what's easy, or you want what's convenient, and you have to remove yourself from that. And so I think getting to a place where I understand what things work for me, what things don't, and leaning into that and understanding, like, hey, if I want to get something done, for example, I have to write it down. Like, it has to get done like that. That has been a big thing for me. And also just my aunts, like, love me so much, and I'm so blessed. And I say, it sounds weird saying, like, I'm so, but like, they every day are reminding me how much they love me. And to just see, and one of my aunts literally, I mean, it might've been 5 years ago where it just like stuck in my head, maybe even more than that. Like, anyone who's acting badly or is malicious or jealous, it is just, they're missing love. It's a void of love. If someone's, you know, bumps into you at the club and gives you a shove or something, they're having a bad night because they're missing that in their life right now. And I think that was like a revolutionary seed that was planted in my head maybe around like 6-7 years ago. And it is just, I think, flourished. And you know, don't get me wrong, there are definitely times where I do forget that sometimes people are trying their hardest. I get frustrated sometimes, but trying to ground myself and bring myself back to that thought as much as I can, I think is really important.
I mean, we see it, dude. You are, the flourishing is happening and ongoing. It's cool to see.
But it's funny you bring that up. It wasn't always like that. You know what I mean? I'm 26 now. I'm fucking old. Am I 27? I don't even know how old I am. I still think I'm 17. You know what I mean? Like, we're all...
We got a few years on you, babe. It's okay.
You guys got me fooled. Squad's up.
Thanks for sharing all of that. I mean, I had maybe a feeling that that was the journey you were on, because I see you, like, you speak about connecting people, you know, filling that space that, you know, maybe you can lend your skills towards that might be a gap for somebody else. So that's cool, beautiful. We love the connectivity and the self-awareness. We're going to close this segment with a little thing about Elements. Music Festival is here. And Plurbies, when you're listening to this, it will actually have just wrapped up, but it's happening to us in 2 days. I'm super excited to represent Plurality there this year. We'll be there the whole time and there to catch 9 Before 9 on Sunday. Woo! In what is honestly one of the single most ridiculous days of a festival lineup in my recent memory. Like, it's bonkers. Can't wait for that. Kahan, you're going to be there the whole weekend. What are you excited about?
I just went and got the RV. Everyone who I'm going with, they're working the 9-to-5 right now. I stepped up. I said, guys, I'm going to go get the RV. I'm going to go grocery shopping. I'll do it all. I'll pick everyone up tomorrow and we'll head up to the Poconos. I'm really stoked. This will be my 4th year going to Elements. And the first year I just went for a day. I don't really count it. It was 3 years ago where one of my very close friends had something come up where he couldn't make it last minute. And so he was selling his ticket and he was selling his spot in the RV with some of our other mutual friends. Like, it might have been the day before Elements. Oof. And I just full send. I went and I became one with the Elements community that weekend. I had gotten introduced to the Frick Frack world. I, you know, was learning, you know, how to shuffle. I was like, let me take the time and do all of these things and really get, and I made friends for life from that and got to go last year and play some of the Renegade stages. And it was so special to see how all of these different crews, you know, everyone wants to do the same thing, right? Everyone wants to bring people together. They want to just have that opportunity to be around, you know, good energy. And to see, you know, Renegade stages from New York, Philly, DC, there was one from Florida, like people from all over bringing equipment, doing all of this, dedicating it, you know, just so people can come and have a place to gather. I thought it was really special. And so what I'm most stoked for is seeing all the friends I've made along the way. And I think getting back to that 2-3 years ago feeling where I'm just going to go and enjoy the sets and I'm going to go and take the long walk, you know, with my friend back to the RV if they need to go get something, like enjoy all of that. And then Saturday night, get to bed a little bit early, and Sunday, just all business. But Thursday, Friday, and into Saturday night, like, I just want to be a part of everything and be that, like, sort of beacon for good energy. Cause, you know, the weather doesn't look great. I'm sure some people are going to be down. And, like, my goal is, like, nah, fuck that. Like, nah, we're going. Like,
Well, hey, I love that you have that state of mind, because that's the kind of shit that people need when the weather is crappy at a festival. Like, they need those people who are going to, like, be like, no, we're still going to have a really good time because it's a festival and we're here to connect with each other. And of course, it's amazing when the sun is out, and the sun will probably come back out. So you just got to, like, you know, dance through it.
I wish you guys were yelling. Ah,
Mikey will be there, but Aaron and I will not.
Probably be there next year.
Yes, we're
probably next year.
It's unfortunate, actually, because a lot of our friends are playing this year. We are homies with Lefty, Rich Furnace, Zlata, Cup of Tea, Fillionaire. Like, those are all.
Isn't Jasmine playing too?
Oh, Jasmine too. That's mm-hmm. true. Yeah, Jasmine, which is JSMN.
It's so, like, we're at such a weird spot, I feel like, in the world where, like, you're saying these names and I, like, can see the Instagram handle in my head, but I've never met these people. You know, it's so interesting. I think about that a lot.
Yeah, we think about that a lot too.
What is the world?
Aaron's, listen to this lineup for just Sunday. Bob Moses, Sarah Landry, It's Murph, Dimension, G Jones, Casablanca. I'm going to cry if I miss Casablanca. Sub Focus, Walker and Royce, also in the cry boat. Chris Lake, B2B Clooney, my boy Subtronics is doing two sets. Are you kidding? I'm going to simp so hard. It's just blank. Cool Customer is so, I'm so stoked for Cool Customer.
Number one of the day.
And top, Hamdi, 949. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Dude, I'm stoked. I'm early enough where I don't think I conflict with the artists.
No, you're just before those big hitters.
Perfect. So come through, come early. We'll stretch. We'll break it down.
Do a little bit of yoga. I love it. Speaking of 9 Before 9, where did you get your name?
Yeah. So I used to ride the bus to school with one of my best friends. I actually was just with him this past weekend. His name's Luke Bruegel, absolute baller. He's not in the scene. He's just a great dude. And we've been friends since first grade. So in seventh and eighth grade, we'd ride in the bus together to middle school. And we would always be sharing headphones. I'm talking like the old.
The manual.
The manual.
Literally that. And I think we were bumping mainly like Chris Webby. Mac Miller was, oh, there it is. We got the Nano. Let's go. Yeah. So now we would be listening to, I don't know, music. And by the time we would get from his stop to school, typically be around like 8 or 9 tracks, and we would get into school before 9 a.m. And so it just became, yo, what's the 9 before 9?
Oh.
Who's got 4? Who's got 5? What's going on? So that's kind of how the lore began.
9 tracks before 9 on the school bus.
Bang. Crazy.
That's so dope.
Does your friend know that's why you named yourself that?
Oh, he loves it. Him and his girlfriend have come to a couple of my shows, and it's been so special. So definitely.
Thanks for sharing that story. It was so special.
What about your brother, Cameron? Is he just so amped that you're doing all this stuff?
You know, I think Suicide Boys has a really crazy, cool quote about this. They did a podcast where one of the guys is like, your hometown's the last to get behind you. Like, you have to blow up and make it big everywhere else before the people who see you at the gas station and at the deli are going to go out of their way to, you know, be in your corner. And my family, I'm very fortunate. They've been very supportive. But, you know, my brother, he went through Porter Robinson phase. Long story short, he has a very high, you know, sort of caliber. You know, I'm doing small bars and small clubs and stuff and sort of getting my feet under me. It wasn't until home base last year when he saw I was on the Rusko takeover with Schlump and Buku. And he was like, I'm obsessed with Rusko. Let's go. I'm coming. He brought out a bunch of his friends. They flew down to Orlando. They came to the show. If you watch the YouTube video from 2023 home base, I give him a little shout out before like one of our iconic tracks. Yeah, he's an OG for sure.
And shout out Rusko, like one of the GOATs all time. Talk about good energy. That man has it.
First artist I ever saw perform Shoeless. He was opening for Zed's Dead at Dead Rocks 5, I think, in the summer of 2018. And yeah, that's when I saw Rusko for the first time. I was like, this guy is going crazy and he's in socks. Like, is that allowed?
Is that allowed?
Did this song just like turn on after the other one was done, Maggie?
Oh, this, you know, it's a little mix that I threw on.
No, I love it.
Yeah, it's called Bass Exploration Volume 1.
This is old. This is, I think, my first mix ever.
Oh, this is a mix you made.
This is the first thing on your SoundCloud.
I love it.
That's crazy. Oh my God.
I drop like the shoulda, infinite the raincoat. Dude, thank you for joining us. Thank you for spending your night chatting with us, listening to music, giving us recommendations. We appreciate you.
You guys are awesome. This has been such a treat, and I can't wait to rock out with you all weekend, Mikey and Aaron's. I can't wait to get to hang out. Hopefully soon, maybe even before the month ends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, Kahan, tell the people where they can find you on the gram. What you got cooking? What's in the oven? What are you stoked for?
We've been in full cooking mode, I guess. I don't know. I got 4 or 5 collabs coming out. I have some new house tracks, and I'm really trying to find my lane in the bass world. One of my mentors, his name's Sully. He's on Wakan. He's been getting me hip to a lot of his sound design. And shout out to my boy, Master Plan. We actually did a session at 7 a.m. this morning. He's been coming over before work because it's the only time where we can both meet.
Wow.
It's been getting me out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
And we've been really cooking along. So it's been super great. So a lot of different stuff coming, more events, and I'm going on tour with an artist that I can't name yet. I'm really excited for that. I'm going to be doing 4 shows with them in DC, in Brooklyn, in San Francisco, and in Vancouver. So it will be really cool.
Are we allowed to know when the Brooklyn show is or no?
I can tell you guys everything if we stop.
Okay, fair. We'll talk about it later.
All right, Plurbies, we're going to send you out shortly.
Shout out to Alley Cat, Mrs. Scream, and also Andrew Lux's Roomba, which is his Roomba.
Yes.
And Barbara Streisand.
Oh, and Barbara Streisand. Oh. How could I forget Barbara Streisand? Oh,
I don't know
God.
How you could forget Barbara.
I was put on the spot.
Alley Cat, repping Northern Virginia. Let's go. I'm playing one of her tracks this weekend. Super stoked.
Awesome. Hey, which one?
Fucking Love You.
Yes. Love that track. Love her new track with Levity too.
She's nasty. I'm listening to this again. I'm sorry, guys.
No, Mikey, turn it up, please. I want to hear it. Yeah, it's so good.
Blurbies, thanks for coming. We'll see you on the next one.